try to do two things tonight. Two parts tonight.
It's no one's fault.
Two parts tonight. Okay, let's start with the Yesod that the Vilna Gaon expressed really in a halachic context, but it's very, very true in terms of the Hashkafa, and we see some insights in this week's parsha from the Gra. Earlier today, in Shir, we spoke about the Emunah Pshuta that a Jew needs to have to not do things solely or really at all based on his rational understanding of things. And there's a certain bittul that a Jew has to have to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, where I do things because Hashem says so. I always quote the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in the third parak. Rambam quotes in Halacha Dalid, why do we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So the Rambam begins, Afal pish tkiyas shofar is gzeiras hakasul, even though blowing the shofar is a decree from God, Hashem says so. Remez yeshpo, there's a remez. What's the remez of the shofar? Wake yourself up from your sleep, try to do tshuva, be a good Jew. But the baseline of why a Jew blows shofar is Afal pish tkiyas shofar gzeiras hakasul, because God says so. It's Gzeiras HaKosov, it's a decree of the Torah, it's Gzeiras HaMelech. And to never lose sight of the fact that no matter how much I think I may understand, and no matter how much I'm encouraged to try to understand, that's also a Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Temura, where the Rambam says that Shlomo HaMelech understood kim'at all the mitzvahs of the Torah, with the exception maybe of Parah Aduma. Nonetheless, my bottom line has to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to do something, and I do it. And that permeates itself in Halacha as well. So, for example, you could have a halacha where we think we understand the reason, and the Vilna Gaon will say, you may understand one layer of the reason, but l'maisa, there may be many layers to the reason. There may be a pnimius to the reason that totally transcends your understanding, your limited understanding of the law. Okay, so I want to give you an example of that, a well-known example from the Vilna Gaon, and then I want to show you how that's reflected in an insight that is perhaps related to our parsha. Okay, so let's see if we can put it all together. Okay, this is we're gonna have a hakdama for the Vilna Gaon, which I think is a very, very fitting hakdama, really to share the vart on the parsha, which appears in sources 8 and 9. Okay, but let's begin with a Mishnah Maseches Trumos. In Maseches Trumos, the Mishnah, somewhat in passing, but somewhat in context, tells us that there are three liquids that are usher to drink if they've been left uncovered. Heard of this idea before? The Mishnah says, take a look in the middle of the line, Shlosha Mashkin, source number one, Shlosha Mashkin Asurim Mishum Gilui. There are three liquids that if they're left uncovered, they cannot be consumed. The Mishnah is talking about it first in the context of Yayin Shel Truma, and then it says, all the more so if it was just regular wine. But there's three liquids that if they're left uncovered, they need to be spilled out. What are the three liquids? So the Mishnah tells us in the 8th parak of Maseches Trumos, the three liquids are Mayim, Yayin, and Chalav. Water, wine, and milk. Okay, Mishar Kol HaMashkin Mutarim, fine. What is the reason for this prohibition of uncovered liquids? Again, before we see anything, right? We could probably sit here and come up with a bright group of guys. We could probably come up with a lot of different reasons. Right? Of course, Yonatan's go-to is snake venom, because that's very common. Okay, but he's right. He's right in terms of the Pashup shot. A snake venom was a concern. That snakes, like people, are thirsty. And a snake might come and drink from your uncovered barrel of wine or water or milk, and may inject some of his venom into the liquid, and it's dangerous. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in source number 2, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Mashkim Shinizgalu. Alright, what did you say?
Well.
Yeah. Off to a good start. You got a hot hand tonight. Keep shooting well.
It's the salad.
It's the salad, yes. The power the it powers up your Torah skills. Mashkim Shinizgalu. So liquids that were left uncovered. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. This is Yoredeya Simin Kufta Zayin. Yoredeya Simin Kufta Zayin are some of the halachos related to what? Sakana. Things that are usur because they're dangerous. The Torah asks us to protect ourselves. The truth is, that's a whole interesting discussion also. Well, what's the source that you need to protect yourself? Where's the halacha of don't do dangerous things? Shmart meod lenafshoseich, I will say. The pasuk says you have to guard your soul very much. The pasha says that it has nothing to do with physically protecting yourself. In fact, you just said the Gaiish drasha of Shmart meod lenafshoseich, as presented by a guy to a Jew in the Gemara Brachos who was waiting for an answer. When the non-Jew said to him, doesn't your Torah say you have to guard your life? So what he should have said back to the Gentile general who was standing by while he finished the Shemona Esrei was, no, that's not actually how we read the Pasuk. Right? That's the Gaiish version of the Pasuk. Okay, but whatever the source may be, Chai Behem, whatever it is, L'maisa, Hashem doesn't want us to do dangerous or stupid or foolish things. So therefore, says the halacha in Yoredaya, Kufta Zayin Sif Aleph, Mashkim Shinez Galu, if you have a pitcher of water, let's use water, okay? It's water, wine, and milk in the Mishnah. Let's use water. So water that was left uncovered, Asrim Chachamim, the Chachamim prohibited the consumption, the Chayshinan Shema Shasa Nachash Mehem, that were concerned maybe a snake drank from them, Vihitil Mehem Aris, and he poisoned it, he shot some of his venom into the liquid. Now you should just know the halacha. The halacha is, so I was drinking a cup of water in my kitchen, and I went down to my basement to take care of something for 10 minutes, and I came back. Halacha l'maisa, I'm a straight Shulchan Aruch yid. I'm not a brisker chumra kind of yid. I'm not a Vilna Gaon chumra kind of yid. I don't know what does it say on the books. I lived 2018. I've seen a total of 0 snakes in my house. Right? And I've lived in multiple homes, so it must be that snakes are not commonly found in my region. It must be that my home is built in such a way, all the more so, that snakes don't regularly appear in my home. Certainly not the types of snakes, if a small garden snake were to, creep through a crack in my, whatever, vent or something. It's very rare to find a venomous snake, a poisonous snake in my home. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskens very clearly, black on white, the achshav she'ein nechashim mitzuyim b'neinu. Nowadays, where we don't find snakes in our homes, mutter, right? It becomes completely unrealistic that my milk, which I left out and it happens to have left uncovered for 5 minutes, was poisoned when I wasn't looking. It's extremely unlikely. To the point that the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to drink that liquid. However, the Vilna Gaon and the Maaser Rav, I happen to have a very old edition of several Sifrei Hagra here. One of them is the Maaser Rav here. Okay, it was a little hard to photocopy, so I just typed it up for you, so you can thank me later. Just joking. Giloy Aser, the Vilna Gaon felt, the Vilna Gaon, I'm a malice, tremendous malice. It was a pretty busy day, I'll be honest. Giloy Aser, Av She'in Nachashim Mitzuyim Beinenu. The Vilna Gaon held, you can't drink uncovered liquids, even if you took your eye off it for 2 minutes, even though snakes are not common. And the Gra was very particular about this matter. Why? Was he paranoid? Does the Vilna Gaon need therapy for OCD? Is he irrational? None of the above. So why? Because the Vilna Gaon understood, I apologize for even using those terms criticizing the Vilna Gaon in that way. The Vilna Gaon was a reasonable and very God-fearing person. So how do those two go together? The answer is, the Vilna Gaon understood what the average Jew doesn't understand. And what the Vilna Gaon believed in is that every single mitzvah of the Torah has layers and layers and layers and layers and layers and layers and layers. Rechava min hayam, as the pasuk says. So of course there's a pasha pshat of why a Jew doesn't drink uncovered liquids, because maybe he'll be poisoned by a snake. But there's also Kabbalah that we don't have the faintest clue about why in Pnimius, a Tam Nelam, as to why a Jew doesn't drink a liquid that's been left uncovered. And I don't care if there are snakes in your house or not snakes in your house, that Mitzias doesn't change. And therefore the Vilna Gaon was Nizhar Ma'od Ma'od B'dav. So what I'm trying to emphasize here is, again, all B'derach HaKdama to several insights from the Vilna Gaon, especially the one on this week's Parsha, is that a Jew has to be very, very careful. Again, this is what we spoke about this morning, the danger of following your own Seichel. The danger of thinking, I understand the situation. I understand the Hashem, I understand the Chum, I understand the reasons. There's a tremendous danger. You end up bringing, like Aaron's sons in this past week's parasha, and Eish Zarah Shel Tzivo Sam, a foreign fire that God never commanded. Oh, no, but to me it makes sense. What do you mean to you it makes sense? Not about what makes sense to you. It's about what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with His divine will, command of you and expect of you. So yes, there is a revealed level, and one who wanted to follow the Shulchan Aruch on this, I would not say that you're a Rasha, but it's well known that the Vilna Gaon was particularly strict about this. And again, it sets whether we're going to choose to follow the Shulchan Aruch or the Gra on this particular issue. You can speak to your posek, but the Yesod is very fundamental Yesod in Yiddishkeit, to understand that there's layers to why we do things, and it's not just about, oh well, I understand this, and I can beat the system. I'm bigger than the system. I can navigate the system. We don't as Jews feel that way. We have the humility to know there are many layers to the system. And just because I understand a certain baseline, why don't we kill? Someone explain to me why Hashem says don't kill. Don't kill. It's the easiest thing in the world to explain. Any half normal civil society understands killing is wrong. And Yerav Chaim Brisker wrote and explained very clearly that the reason we don't kill is because Hashem says so. We don't really understand it. So again, is he being irrational? Of course we understand it. We understand a lot. We understand the pshat. But there's a remez, and there's a drush, and there's a sod, and there's layers. There's tamim that are revealed, and there's tamim nistarim for everything in Torah. Okay? So let's flesh this idea. The Shulchan Aruch was a mekubal also, so it's a good question. But let's try to flesh out this idea. There's a gemara that's very important in this topic, in the sugya, Sanhedrin Chav Aleph from Viz. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, Amar of Yitzchak, Bipnei ma lo nisgalu tamei Torah. Why did the Sefer HaChinuch have to be the one to come along to figure everything out for us, or try to offer some type of explanation for the mitzvahs? Why don't we find explanations in the Torah? Why doesn't God explain to us? Why did he leave us in the dark on Shatness? Why did he leave us in the dark on Paraduma? Why didn't Hashem explain these things to us? Sha'arei shtei mikros nisgalu taima nichshu ben gadol ha'olam. Because the same Shlomo HaMelech who I mentioned before, who the Rambam uses as a paradigm of someone who understood really, 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 really well, but that same Shlomo thought he understood two mitzvahs in the Torah, and it led him astray. The Torah says about a Melech, Ksiv lo yarba lo nashim, the king's not allowed to have too many wives. How many is the discussion in Sanhedrin? Amar Shlomo, not a problem for me. I'm smart enough to have a lot of wives and to know how to navigate. Amar Shlomo, ani arba velo asur. I'll increase, but I won't violate. What happened in the end? Shlomo took too many wives, some more righteous than others. And the pasuk very clearly states, Chsiv, vayihi le'es ziknas Shlomo, nashav hitu es levavo. And the Gemara was embarrassed to quote the end of the pasuk. Hitu es levavo to what? To Elohim Acher. Right? Imamish was led astray to avodah zarah. Again, there's different opinions exactly what that meant. But needless to say, Shlomo Melech was not above the law, no matter how smart he was. Viksiv, it says also in Parsha Shoftim about a Melech, lo yar below susim. Don't take too many horses. Too many horses, you're going to end up going back to Mitzrayim. Well, I can take a lot of horses, says Shlomo, and not end up back in Mitzrayim. I know, I'm a chacham. The Torah says in three places, a Jew's not allowed to go back to Mitzrayim. I know it very well. The Torah explained, don't take horses because lest you go back to Mitzrayim. I'm going to take horses without falling into that trap. Well, guess what happened? Too smart for the law. He fell into that trap. Amar Shlomo, ani arba v'lo ashiv. I will increase my horse collection. What do you call a horse collection? What's, what?
My stables.
My stables. Okay, it's more normal than a horse collection. I'll increase my stables, yeah? It's been a long day, I'm sorry. I'll increase my horse collection. I'll increase my stables. Yeah, and I'll be careful not to end up in Mitzrayim. I can be in the horse trade without falling into that trap. And of course, the pasuk in Malachim tells us very clearly, "Veteitzei merkavam Mitzrayim b'sheish v'gomer," and he ended up back doing business with Mitzrayim. So don't try to be above the law. Two times the Torah told us a reason. Don't take too many wives, lest they lead you astray. I can take too many wives; they won't lead me astray. Black on white, they let him astray. I can take too many horses; it's not going to get me caught up with business in Mitzrayim. Jews are done with Mitzrayim. Three places in the Torah it emphasizes, don't go back to Mitzrayim. And Shlomo fell in. Okay? So the Gemara is warning us, be careful. Don't try to understand Torah too much to the point that it's going to impact your ability to fulfill the Torah, to practice the Torah. It's a gezeiras hakasav. If God told you to do something, do it. Once I'm nasa, then nishma. Then I have a right to try to understand and try to explore and try to rationally come to... The Rambam's Mor Nevuchim is all about understanding it. The Sefer HaChinuch is all about rationally understanding it. The Kuzari has a lot about understanding it. Yeah?
Is there a
has an answer, why don't we have the reasoning?
Because the danger of the reasoning is that we'll start to say, oh, well, now that I know the reason, it doesn't apply to me. Right? That was, and Shlomo, the wisest of men, even the wisest of men, thought, well, I get it, so now it's not my problem. It's not going to be a problem for me. And it was a problem for him. So therefore, it was almost, it's still a strange thing. Like, why did Hashem, you know, build this failed experiment into his Torah, knowing that Shlomo would, right? Like, why experiment the two places just to prove that it's not going to work? But if you're wondering why the Torah didn't expound more on its own mitzvahs, why Hashem kept silent on the Tameh mitzvahs, now you know why. Okay? So let's see an example of this, as presented in a very clever insight of the Vilna Gaon, in Maseches Shabbos. Okay? In Maseches Shabbos, let's look at source number 6 first for a second. The Mishnah in Shabbos describes some of the prohibitions of Shabbos in the first parak, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah says, Lo Yikra Lo'or Haner. You're not allowed to read on Shabbos by the light of a candle. Okay, what's the reason? What's the reason stated in the Mishnah? There is no reason stated in the Mishnah. The reason stated in the Mishnah is don't do it. Do not read by candlelight. Okay, I can't resist telling you a very cute vart. You know what I'm going to say?
I don't know.
You smiled like you know what I'm going to say. Look at the just look at the next part of the Mishnah. It's not a vart from the Gra. It's actually a Meiri, shockingly enough. Which is wild that a Rishon would say this vart. But it's true, I've seen it with my eyes. Be'emes Amru, Hachazin Roa Heichon Tinokos Korin, Avalhula Yikra. The Chazin, which means the Rebbe, is allowed to what? Is allowed to see what the children are reading by the light of the Ner, but the Rebbe himself is not allowed to read by the light of the Ner. Why are kids allowed to read by candlelight on Shabbos? Why are the children, why are the school children, who apparently went to school on Shabbos, how rough is that? They went to school on Shabbos, right. They're allowed to sit by a flame on Shabbos, right? But an adult is not allowed to. What's the reason for that? What's the reason? What's the reason that an adult can't sit by the candle? So if you look back in source number 5, Meisvei, the Brisa explains, Lo Yikra Lo Haner, why can't you read by candlelight? Because if the light starts to flicker, what are you going to do? We're talking about oil candelabras. You're going to adjust. You're going to tilt. Exactly. Shema, lest you come to adjust. You come to adjust the candle. So why are kids allowed to read by the light of the candle on Shabbos? You know what the Meiri says? Because kids aren't going to touch that candle. They're so excited for it to go out, because when the lights go out, then we get to go home and we get to have recess. That's what the Meiri says. The kids are waiting for the candle to go out. If anything, they're going to try to make it go out sooner. They're not trying to increase the light. The Rabbi says, oh, a few more minutes of steiging. Bachrim, a few more minutes of steiging. The kids are like, can we just get a break? It's Shabbos. Can I just go take a nap? Right, so the kids want the light to go. The Rebbe wants the light to burn. The adult wants the light to burn. Okay? So the Brisa, source number 5, Yud Beis and Yud Beis, and Shabbos, clarifies for us, why can't you read by the light of a candle, lest you come to tilt? Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Chavra, sounds familiar? You know who this is? Who's Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha? Who's Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha? You think of a Gemara with Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha? Who's Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha? Ani Akra, I'm going to read by the light of the candle, and I'm not going to come to tilt. Oh, that's why the rabbi said, don't read by the light? No, I'll be very careful. Now, there are ways to actually use candlelight on Shabbos. There are tzaddikim, even in the age of electricity, but because of certain concerns, legabe chil Shabbos, in Eretz Yisrael, in terms of secular, not observant Israelis and the electric company, and using generators in Bnei Brak, or maybe not even using generators. Okay, there are ways that one can create a system of using electric lights, of using non-electric lights on Shabbos, right? But Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha said about himself, I can do it on my own. I know why the rabbi said this, and I'm not going to come to mess up. Pamachas. Pamachas. There's reading about the candles. It's different, where you need a precise light. Pamachas kara. Yeah? One time, what? He was reading. Uvikish lahatos. And he started to tilt. Now, I told you this story with Chaim Kanievsky.
Oh, the screen kit?
Yeah. That's what you're thinking?
I've heard a lot from
him. The way that you can read by the light of the candle is if you point at a shomer to make sure you don't tilt. Someone watches over you, that you won't come to tilt. Right? So Chaim Kanievsky, I believe, does this every Shabbos. Right, and he tests his shomer to make sure the shomer is, you know, awake. He starts to go to see if, to make sure, okay, good. You're a good shomer. You're a good shomer, making sure I don't tilt. Okay? So he almost tilted one time. Yisrael ben Elisha caught himself at the last second. Whatever happened. Bikish Latos. I don't know if he did it, he didn't do it. Whatever it was. It was a very close call. So then look what he said. Omar, where it's bolted. Kama gedolim divrei chachamim shehu omrim lo yikra lo aner. How great were the sages that they said, don't read by the light of a candle. What's the vart from the Gra? The Gra says the Mishnah was better than the Braisa. The Mishnah in source number 6 was better than the Braisa in source number 5. Because what was the Mishnah? And I'll show you this in the Mishnah. Right, exactly. What was the Mishnah? Don't do it. Why not do it? I'm not telling you. It's not your business. Shlomo Melech heard the reasons for not too many wives, not too many horses, and it was his downfall. When Rabbi Yishmael says, how smart the rabbis were in the way they presented the Mishnah. Of course there's explanations for why you can't read by the light of the candle. The Bryce even reveals the secret to us, the big sod of Torah, this big secret why you can't read by the light of a candle, lest you come to tilt. Right? But when Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha knew the reason, he then came to reason, he himself came to reason that he was above the law. And by thinking he was above the law, he almost made a tragic mistake. Chil Shabbos. So Amar kam gedolim divrei chacham, how wise were the rabbis in the Mishnah that they weren't megala the sod, that they didn't give away the reason. Because then a person thinks he can be bigger than the reason. Or going back to our example with the snake and the uncovered water, maybe there's more than one reason. So even if you could be nizar in one aspect of it, maybe you're not going to be nizar in a second aspect of it. The Maritz Chayis, or Tzvirish Chayis, in the 1800s, was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, Galicia. And the Maritz Chayis wrote his Hagos on Chidushim on Shas. It's in the back of every Vilna Shas. And he writes a vart that he says, I heard from the Gra. Basically what we just said, but let's see it inside. He quotes our Gemara in the first line in source number 7. And then he says, it appears to me that I heard B'Shem Hagon, Rav Eliyahu Mivilna Zatzal. When Rabbi Yishmael said his statement, how great are the rabbis, what was he saying? Dam Rinan, he quotes our Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mepnei Malo, Nechtu Tamei Amitzos. Why were the Tamei Amitzos concealed from us in the Torah? Mepnei Dereinu, Shnei Dvarim, Kosva, Torah, Sivas, Amitzos, V'nichshol Behem, Gadol Ha'olam. That Shlomo Melech nearly messed up on something very serious. I say for Amitzos La Ramba. V'hinei, fifth line. V'mishna Seinu Nemar Stam, Lo Yikra Lo Oraner, period. In our Mishnah, Mesechah Shabbos, Yud Aleph, Amad Aleph, it just says, without any explanation, don't read by the light of a candle. Belina sinas tam, without any explanation. V'sibal al isser hakriya lor haner, without any explanation or reason for that isser of not reading by the candle. Ulam bebraisa mefura shatam, the braisa reveals the secret. Why can't I read by the light of the candle, lest I come to tilt? Rabbi Yishmael says, now that I know the reason, no problem. Chishe bedaita ani akra v'laata. I'm going to read by the light of the candle, I'm not going to tilt. Well, if he gadol kamoso, lo nemar iser, for someone as big as I am, that's not what the rabbis had in mind. I have self-control, I'm Rabbi Yishmael. I'm Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. I'm Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Kederach sho'amar Shlomo, ani arbe v'lo asir. I'm not going to come to mess up. Ul v'sov acher shenichsho Rabbi Yishmael. So after Rabbi Yishmael messed up, says the Vilna Gaon, read precisely the Gemara. What did Rabbi Yishmael say? The rabbis were so smart when they initially hid the reason. When the rabbis just said a blanket statement, don't read by the light of the candle, period. That too much information makes you too smart for your own good. And you start to do things that Hashem doesn't desire. V'lohai Rabbi Yishmael make a latzmo. He wouldn't have been lenient about the gezeres chachamim. It's a gevaldik pshat. And then he says, I think I saw such an idea also in the Sefer Bechinas Hadas from another great sage who I'm not familiar with. Okay? Good? Gevaldik. It's a gevaldik pshat. Okay, turn the page for a second. Now you should just know the Maritz Chayyah says, I have one little hesitation about this pshat, but I think I can uphold the pshat. One of the things the Maritz Chayyah is known for is his very famous Mavo LeTalmud, his introduction to the Gemara. Really a magnum opus, an introduction to Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and really how Torah works. He wrote a tremendous scholar. He may have even had a PhD. Maybe the only one in the back of your Gemara who actually had a PhD. They question whether or not he actually, had a formal, had that formal training. But he was a tremendous scholar. He was an academic scholar and a massive Talmid Chacham. So he says, I have a question. He was very sensitive to Girsos and manuscripts and all those types of things. And he says, if you look in the Yerushalmi, he writes on the top of page 2, he says, it's a beautiful pshat. Achein b'divrei ha-Yerushalmi parakamad ha-Shabbos, i'af shal ha-farishkin. But I'm struggling because if you look in the Yerushalmi, you have the same statement of Rabbi Yishmael with a little twist. Look what it says. In the Yerushalmi, it says explicitly, Rabbi Yishmael said, kam gedolim divrei chachamim, sha'amru lo yikra lo araner, lest you come to tilt. You see? The whole Vart of the Gra is that what? Rabbi Yishmael came to the realization that no, that the rabbi said, stam, don't read by the light of the candle. Right? If he adds the whole statement, like the Brayer said, don't read by the light of the candle unless you come to tilt, so that uproots the Vilna Gaon's Var. The whole point of the Gra is that the Brayer gave away too much information. The Mishnah was the way to say it. That's Rabbi Yishmael's point. The rabbis were so smart in the Mishnah that they kept it a secret. Yerushalmi presents it as if how great are the rabbis when they said, don't read lest you tilt, and I came to almost tilt. So he says, Uval karachach tzarech lomar delashon Talmud bavli meduktak yoser. It must be that the Bavli is more precise, and the Yerushalmi is a Torah sofer, and it just got borrowed in. And he feels confident that the Gra's diuk has validity to it. Okay, but it's a beautiful diuk. And it reminds us again the importance of doing the mitzvahs because Hashem says so. And not to try to do it because of my understanding. Because A, my understanding might be limited. I might only understand part of the reason for the Isser, or the Gezeirah of the Chachamim, in the case of uncovered waters, or the mitzvah of the Torah, in the case of why not to take. And even if I do understand it, even if I do understand the true reason, don't try to be above the law. Just do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to do it. Hashem says to do it. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that Tzaddikim like to point out. It says, Lama token of Marian, why do we blow shofar? Right? So the Gemara says, what do you mean, why do we blow shofar? Rahman Amar Tiku, the Torah says to blow the shofar. Right? So the Pashup Shot is just clarifying what the question is. Right? Meaning, of course, we know you need to blow shofar. We're trying to ask, why do we blow shofar the way that we blow shofar? But this Tzaddikim and the Sefer Chassidus explain, no, the Gemara is teaching us this lesson again. Right? The Gemara is teaching us this lesson. Lama token, if you want to know why we blow, what do you mean why do we blow? Rahman Amar Tiku. Don't ask that question. Leave it alone. Don't try to understand things. The more you try to understand, the more you open up the possibility of allowing the Torah to fit with your man-made intellect. And that's an extremely dangerous thing, even for a Shlomo HaMelech. Alach has kama a million times over for us. Okay? So with all of this introduction to the worldview of the Gra about understanding mitzvos, we've seen now the example both in terms of mitzvos of the Torah and the gzeros derabanan in the case of Shulchan Aruch Yerodei Kufta Zayin. So now let's read a Gevaldik Vart in the Parsha. Really beautiful Vart in the Parsha about surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very painful but beautiful way. Okay, let's take a look inside. It's a double Parsha this week, Tazria Metzora. In Tazria, we find the following pasuk: Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemer. Daber El Bnei Yisrael Lemer. Isha Ki Tazria. In case you're wondering where the name of the Parsha came from, it's the beginning of the Parsha, right here. Isha kisazria v'yalda zachar v'tama shivas yamim kimei nidas devosa titma. A woman who gives birth to a male child, mazel tov, big simcha. For 7 days, she's a nida. For 7 days, she's a nida. Uv'yom ha-shmini yimol b'sar alaso. And on the 8th day, the kid gets a bris. The child gets a bris. What happens if she sees blood on day 8, 9, 10, 11, what's the halacha? She permitted to her husband? According to the Din D'Oraisa? Absolutely. For 7 days she has the status, right, of Nida, of Dava. Dava means illness. Tvosa, Titma, she's Tameh. After that, the blood is assumed to be what we would call Dam Tahor. Pure blood. Pure blood. Right? Which means that she's permitted to her husband. It's not the blood of Nida, which prohibits her to her husband on a very serious pains of karis. Right? Shalom Harav, how are you? Nice to see you.
Same here, I don't want to interrupt.
No, it's good to see you.
So Isha Kisazriya Vyalda Zachar Vitamashivasyan, right? And at the end of 7 days, she's permitted to her husband. She may still see blood. But that blood is called Damtar. Different periods of time. How long is she Tameh? How long is blood considered Damtar? For a male child, for a female child. Read the Parsha. It's all explicit in the Pesukim. And then on the 8th day, the kid gets a bris milah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah B'dvaro. Okay, so take a look at this pshat. There's a sefer, an old sefer, called the Sefer Nechmas Yehuda, and in the second chelek he brings the following part from the Vilna Gaon. He says, "Agav askir masha shamati, what I heard from my relative, the Vilna Gaon, apparently this yid was related somehow to the Vilna Gaon, bebir ha-gemara Shabbos. Why is a bris milah on the 8th day? I don't know. Tarzessa, good. You passed the test. Right? But the Gemara says, but why is the bris milah on the 8th day? Shabbos kof lamin amad aleph, tani rishim ben gamliel omer, kol mitzvah shekiblu aleim besimcha kegon milah, dichsiv sos anochi aleim rosecha kamotzei shal harav, adayin oso sab besimcha. Any mitzvah that the Jewish people lovingly and willingly committed themselves to initially, we still do with great simcha. You could think at a bris, it could be such a trap. I mean, sometimes the mother will cry when the baby's getting, you know, circumcised, which is normal. But it's a simcha. People say mazel tov. Mazel tov. Just perform surgery on your child. What's the mazel tov? And you know, and there's balloons and there's bagels and lox and everyone's having a good time. Yeah? It's a big simcha. Why? Because any mitzvah, says the Gemara, that we accepted meirosh, from the beginning, we accepted it with joy. Adayin osin osa besimcha. Circle the word adayin. We still do it besimcha. You'll see why I'm telling you to circle the word adayin. And any mitzvah that they took upon themselves with a heavy heart, any mitzvah that we struggled with to accept initially, throughout the generations we continue to struggle with it. So the Vilna Gaon explained, the second paragraph, Amar agon b'diyuk lashon v'adayin. We still do the mitzvah besimcha. Even though what? Even though the simcha that was once relevant is not so relevant today. What do I mean by that? Apidivrei HaGemara Nida. The Gemara Nida tells us, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Bipnei Ma'amr Torah Mila Lashmona. Again, the question that Yoni says we're not even allowed to ask, but we'll ask it, because the Gemara asked it. Why is Bris Mila on the 8th day? Why is Bris Mila not on the 7th day, the 6th day? Shelo yukulam smeichim v'av v'imo. That it shouldn't be what? That everyone is what? Celebrating? And there's a tremendous atzvas that's hanging over the parents. What's the atzvas? Of the mother and the father. They're not permitted to each other. Right? That dad can't even give mom a hug on the day of the bris milah, the big celebration for their child. And halacha says that she's tamei. And there's harchakos. You're a day of kuftzadi hei. They can't even pass the baby to each other. They can't even share a cup of wine at the celebration together, because she's tameh to him. So everyone's here celebrating with their bagel and lox, and mom and dad are off limits to each other. Not that they want to necessarily be intimate with each other 6 days after she had a baby, right? But she's tameh, and that's hard for them. So it can't be that while those 7 days where the woman is tameh, there could be a bris milah. You understand? They'll share the simcha. So they wait till the 8th day, when now she's technically permitted to her husband. Again, I can basically assure you that no woman wants to be intimate with her husband 8 days after having a baby, right? But at least knowing that they're permitted to each other gives a certain closeness, a certain intimacy between them. Yeah? So therefore, it shouldn't be that there's atzvos for the parents while there's simcha for everyone else. Is that relevant nowadays? Is a woman going to be tahor after 7 days? According to the Gemara, the bris is on the 8th day, because by then the mother will be permitted to her husband. The husband and wife will be permitted to one another. No chance. Why? Because the whole system of nida, as ordained by the Torah, right, has been completely replaced by our rabbinic system of nida. And our rabbinic system of nida says that a woman sees a drop of blood, she will not come back to her husband until what? Until she has 7 clean days. After a woman gives birth, she'll probably be seeing blood and discharge for many, many weeks. Or certainly many, many days. So by the 8th day, she's not going to be permitted to her husband. which means there's a certain sadness that still should exist. And yet, what? Since they were makabel mila originally b'simcha, adayin, that's why adayin is the key word, adayin osin osa b'simcha. Even though the reason that the Gemara offered for why it should be a simcha doesn't apply nowadays. You hear? Because when a Jew does a mitzvah, again, it permeates, it transcends, rather, our logic, our understanding of things. Look inside. Yeah? The Gemara said in Nidab, if they ma'amr Torah mila l'shmona, so that they shouldn't be happy, and the parents are sad. That logic doesn't apply today. What was the chumra of Rabbi Zeira? The righteous Jewish women. Jewish women took it upon themselves, a big chumra. If a woman sees, again, I want you to just be clear about this, in case you don't understand the halachas of the Torah. On a daraisa level, how does nida work? A woman sees a spot of blood, the beginning of her blood flow, yeah, on a Monday. I'm not saying that's the halacha, that sometimes it's on a Monday, sometimes it's on a Wednesday. Yeah? A woman sees blood on Monday. That's day one. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. She could see blood for all 7 days straight. She could see blood for 3 days, 4 days. She could see blood for 2 days, whatever it is. After she completes 7 days, she goes to the mikvah right away. Right? Nowadays, not at all. Nowadays, she sees blood. We make her wait 5 days. Right? And typically a woman will bleed for at least 5 days from the time she starts her needle cycle. And then from the time she stops bleeding, she then has to count 7 clean days, where she's monitoring herself to make sure that she's not seeing any blood. And then we'll go to the mikvah, which means the minimum amount of time from the time a woman gets her period until she'll be able to go to the mikvah is no less than 12 days. Very often more than that. Okay? So it's a big chumrah that we took upon ourselves to treat all blood like Zava Gedola. I'm not going to go through the whole system of how Zava works. After the 7 days of Nidar, there's a period called Zava, which could make her chayav to count 7 clean days. But Jewish women decided, we're going to be so strict, we're always going to do 7 clean days. B'nos Yisrael Yichmir al Atzvan, that if they see a drop of blood, kechardal, like a mustard seed, yoshvos aleh shiva nekiyam, they wait 7 clean days. Big chumra. Which means that no mother is ever going to be permitted to her husband at the bris. It will not be. And also we have a halacha, and it's just a physical reality, that a woman's not going to give birth without seeing blood. Women don't give birth without seeing any blood. And therefore we assume, even though it's a question, what is the nature of this blood that I'm seeing, right? We're going to attribute it to being uterine blood. We're going to attribute it to being nida blood. Which means, b'zman hazeh, no woman is going to be permitted to her husband at the bris. But the logic of the Gemara, the reason the Torah wrote in our parsha, the reason the Torah wrote in source number 8 in our parsha, Yom HaShmini Yimol B'Tzar Alasa, why did God make bris milah on the 8th day? The Gemara told us so that the parents could be together, that there could be no tumah between them. That doesn't apply today. So maybe let's make new rules. Maybe bris milah should be on whatever day the mother first becomes Torah. The day the mom goes to the mikvah, let's declare that the day of bris milah. Let's uproot the Torah. No. Because there's infinite number of other reasons why bris milah is on the 8th day. 8 is a number that's l'malam and a teva, and bris milah is l'malam. They can go on. I can give drushes for the next week on why 8 is connected to milah. And none of that matters. The real reason the bris milah is on the 8th day is because God said, uveyom hashmini yimol b'sar alasa. But since the Jews were makavle b'simcha at the beginning, adayin, even though the reason doesn't apply, he says in the last line, haray ove v'imo atzuvin, they're sad, they're depressed. There's a, again, love after the press, but there's a distance that should exist between them. They're able to overcome that and do it b'simcha. You know why? Because mitzvah gedol yields b'simcha tamim. When I do a mitzvah, I do it b'simcha. Even though the logic of the Gemara and Nidah and Parakam Apolis doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. So that's a var from the Vilna Gaon. That's his shita. That even if I don't understand the logic of the mitzvah, the reality of Hashem's Torah still applies. Okay? One of the svarim that's found in this thin volume that I showed you that's falling apart, but I'm going to use it nonetheless, because what's the point of saving svarim? Just to save svarim. You know, svarim are meant to be used. It has the Elias Eliyahu, the Sa'aras Eliyahu, and the Maisa Raf, which we mentioned earlier. Okay, I tried my best to scan you a copy here from this very sefer. It's a little hard to read, but I'm going to open the sefer to make it a little easier to read for myself. And if you follow along, I think you'll be able to see it. Okay? in the section called Ma'alos HaSulam, in footnote 12, it tells the following story. It's a great little maisa to bring out this point. Okay, where does the story begin? V'sipra li harav hagon Yisrael from Vilna, shehigi lo harav m'chaber chai adam. At the chai adam, of Avram Danzig, yeah, who had a family relationship with the Vilna Gaon. Rav Avram Danzig said, from Vilna, told the following story. Asher pam achaz yashov lifnei ha-gon ha-chosid, nishmas an-eden. One time he was sitting with the Vilna Gaon, Olav HaShalom. V'gam talmidav ha-gadolim yashvu saviv l'shulchano, be'erev Shabbos Kodesh. We're sitting together on Erev Shabbos. And Erev Shabbos might mean Erev Shabbos, what we call Erev Shabbos, Friday. And it might be Erev Shabbos, Friday night. V'yishol lehem agon, emichinu lehem shum l'shabbos ketakonas Ezra. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia that Ezra made certain takanos. One of them was that you should eat garlic on Friday night. Why do you eat garlic on Friday night? Many rabbinic scholars would spend the week away from their homes. Many businessmen as well would spend the week away from their homes, but come home for Shabbos. Which meant that Friday night was very often the night, if husband and wife were going to be together, it would take place Friday night. And the Gemara says that actually is the ona of a Talmid Chacham. Talmid Chacham are intimate with their wives on Leil Shabbos. There's a lot to say on that, Al Pi Kabbalah. Right? There's also a lot to say on that, that it's not a chiyuv. If the husband or wife don't want to be with each other, there's no obligation to. But that was understood, that was the zman of ona for Talmid Chacham. And eating garlic apparently is mar bezera. And the purpose of a husband and wife being intimate with each other is to produce children. That he should be mashpia zera, she should become pregnant, and they should fulfill the mitzvah of puravu. So Ezra was metakein to eat garlic on Shabbos. And there's a lot of reasons to eat garlic on Shabbos. Ezra, the Hilga Ezra, who the Gemara says the Torah could have been given through him, if not for Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe a lot of secret reasons why Jews eat garlic on Shabbos. Right? You may like the taste of garlic. Maybe Ezra just liked the taste of garlic and wanted other people to enjoy that owning Shabbos. Whatever it is. So the Vilna Gaon asked his Talmidim, some of them being the elder Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, the greatest Talmidim of the Gra, do you have garlic for Shabbos? Ve'yishiva Talmidim, halo lo nachon lanu, ki yim isha tzura lanu. So they said to the Vilna Gaon, it's not shach to eat the garlic unless you're going to be with your wife. I don't know if they were with the Gaon for Shabbos away from their wives, or these were older Talmidim who were no longer able to procreate with their wives. Whatever, I'm not sure exactly what this line means, but the bottom line is what they basically said to the Gra is, it's not shayach for us. The purpose of achila shum, of eating garlic on Friday night, is to enhance the intimacy of husband and wife. And that's not relevant for us. Yeah? So what did the Gra say back to them? Look at this. V'heshev lehem agon, im kein lo hiya mila b'shmini. According to you, bris mila shouldn't be on the eighth day. So he said to them. He said, well, what's Rebbe talking about? What's Rebbe talking about? So the Chai Adam, Varav Chai Adam, Kerega Haven, the Chai Adam said, I know what he's talking about. What part did the Chai Adam say? This whole shtickle that we just learned. That really, the eighth day, you would say, is the reason for Mila, so husband and wife can be together. Right? But it's also clear that what? That we still do Mila B'Simcha on the eighth day, even though it doesn't apply B'Zman Azeh, Adayinos B'Simcha. So the Vilna Gaon was saying to them, according to your logic, you're going to change the whole Torah. If Ezra was metakin that a Jew should eat garlic on Friday night, you could be a single bachur, you should eat garlic on Friday night. You could be an old man, you could be an unmarried person. Your wife could be tamei, and you're not going to be with her that night, right? Some Friday night your wife's tamei. She's in her nida cycle. Maybe that's what they meant. Why should we eat the garlic? Our wives aren't permitted to us. But the Vilna Gaon was hinting to them, according to that logic, you end up uprooting the entirety of the Torah. Okay? So a Gevaldic story to bring out this this Yesod again from the Gaon. Okay, let's turn to the last page. Like I said, it's a double parsha, Tazria Metzora. And let's see very quickly just a couple short insights of the Vilna Gaon on the severity of Lashon Hara, which is really the theme in many ways. The Gemara in Maseches Erechin says that there are seven different things that a person gets saras for. Most prominent among them is Lashon Hara. That's why when we're kids, the only thing we think you get Lashon Hara for, the only thing you get Tzaras for is Lashon Hara. You also get Tzaras, let's say, for Tzaras Ayin, for being stingy. There's a whole list of things you get Tzaras for. Most prominent among them is Lashon Hara. Okay? In the Sefer Refuas HaNefesh, which is Kishmo Kenhu, that's what it's about. It's about Refuas HaNefesh. In the end of the 14th parak, The Machaber here writes something that he heard. Shemati lefarish b'shem ha-grami vilnezatza. I heard an explanation of a Gemara. Al pi the Gra. The Gemara in Shabbos says a very, very strange teaching of Rav Papa. Ready for this? Third line. Leis anya mikalvasa, veleis atirta michazirta. There's nothing as poor as a dog, and there's no animal as rich as a pig. Shkoyach Rav Papa. I think that very insightful. I mean, a dog is dependent on being fed by its master, and a pig crawls in the garbage dump, so I don't know. So the pig is rich because it always has food, and the dog is always waiting for food. I mean, what, Rav Papa, what? What's the teaching here? Va'amar bezeh, the Vilna Gaon said, ki l'chora l'may misaper lanu zos. If we believe what it says in Pirkei Avos, that the words of the sages are mamish a fire, and everything they say is Kodesh Kadashim, well, what's Kodesh Kadashim here? This is a weird teaching. What is the relevance of this teaching? The entire Torah was said by Hashem. And yet we find that there are people who pick and choose. Rav Vilna Gaon said, people say, oh, this mitzvah is really important. This no one's machped on anyways. What's something that people are machped on? What's something that people are machped on? Shabbos? What else? What else? Kosher. Let's say kosher. Yeah? If you find out that someone eats pig, they eat pork, clearly not from. Yeah? Let's say I told you they were big black cats and they have long tzitzis. And they have payas, and all their food is mahadran and mahadran, but they speak Lashon Hara. All right. They look like a pretty frum family. So says the Gra, there's nothing as poor as a kelev, and there's nothing as rich as a pig. There's no mitzvah that people take as seriously as pig. Chazer. A conservative person doesn't eat chazer. I don't follow anything. Chazer, pig, I don't eat pig. Yeah? It's a rich mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that worked out well. For whatever reason, people took it seriously. But the kelev, which we'll see is Merabit Lashon Hara, for some reason, people don't take it seriously. It's just dibur ba'alma. Right? Dibur is not even a ma'isa in halacha. You can give a whole lumdus of why Lashon Hara is not a big deal. Take a look inside. The Vilna Gaon explained, ki bi'emes kol ha-Torah mipi ha-gvura nemra. The whole Torah was said by God. But we see people don't treat all the los ases equally. There are averos that people take very seriously. Don't eat pig, of course. Don't eat pig. It could be the only thing some people keep. People drive to shul on Shabbos and eat on Yom Kippur, but I don't eat pig on Yom Kippur. I don't eat pig on Yom Kippur. Im roa echad b'chaveir sh'ochel chazir, Yifrash vimeno, v'lo yirtzu l'schaten imo. I can't marry into such a family. I can't have a sheikh in such a family. They eat pig, they eat pork. It's mamish, the first of the Ten Commandments. Yeah? Yivosh l'dabri imo. I disassociate with such a person. I can't even talk to such a person. Says the Refuas HaNefesh in the name of the Gra, v'yesh lav chomer mizeh harbe. There's something that's much, much more serious than eating pig. You know what it is? Lashon Hara. V'kahu b'nei ha'adam, people don't take it seriously at all. It's just Lashon Hara. Who cares? Kigon ledaber Lashon Hara. Right? Az yomar mazos v'imo yirtzel ischatin ledaberimo. It's not such a big deal. He still wants to have a shaykhis to this guy. Okay, he speaks Lashon Hara. Who doesn't? Come on. Uvederach malitza, so he says the Vilna Gaon, that's what this Maamar Chazal is hinting to. Uvederach malitza hu ki lav shel chazir, who lav ashir, it's a rich losase. People take it seriously, don't eat pig. Ki akol yirayim imenu. V'alav d'lashon hara, people don't take seriously. The Gemara says in Pesachim, he writes at the end of this first column, kol mesaper lashon hara. Person who speaks lashon hara deserves to be thrown to the dogs. But have you ever seen someone who speaks lashon hara being thrown to the dogs? So there's no losase, unfortunately, that has such an unfortunate lot. And it's led to the last 2,000 years of galus. And Lashon Hara, people don't take it seriously. People don't take it, they don't believe that there's really halachos about these things. And it's just words. And I need to unload my feelings. And we come up with all sorts of reasons. Yeah. and we don't take it seriously. Pig, we take so seriously. Chazer, we take so seriously. That's a terrible failure of Klal Yisrael. And again, it's very much connected to why we're still in Galus today. Okay, last but not least, because those of us have to daamar at 10 o'clock, we'll just jump to the final source. The Kol Yaakov, some of the writings of the Magid of Dubna. The Dubna Magid was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon, and he was a Magid, and he was a Baal Musar, and he used to come to give the Vilna Gaon Musar. The Ruah would invite him to give him Musar. He invited him to his home to give him Musar once in a while. Imagine? You have to point out the things the Vilna Gaon does wrong. Okay, you've got to be pretty brave. The Dubna Magid, in some of his writings on Koheles, explains a pasuk in Yirmiyah, based on the Gra, and the pasuk essentially says the following: Chetz shachut lishonam mirma diber bepiv shalom esreeu yedaber uvekirbo yosim arba. Essentially, sometimes you meet a person who superficially is saying nice things with the intention of saying not nice things. If you just go back to source number 12 for just 2 seconds, al yisaper adam b'shilcho shachavero. Yeah, don't speak the praise. Don't talk too much praise about a person. Sometimes if you say too much praise about a person, you're really hinting to the fact that they're awesome at this. Mashma, they're bad at everything else. Sometimes a person who wants to speak Lashon Hara doesn't have the guts to just say something nasty. So they'll be like, yeah. You know, someone says, oh, he's such a great guy. Yeah, he's great about that. Mashma, he's really bad about everything else. So sometimes, you know, Mascha b'shvach m'sayim b'gnus, to flip around the order of the Magid of the Haggadah, yeah? So the Vilna Gaon says, that's what's being hinted to in this pasuk, right? How does a bow and arrow work? Chetz. Chetz shachut l'shonam. Yeah? Sometimes you can harm someone with your Lashon Hara like a bow and arrow. Why? How does a bow and arrow work? The more you pull it back and close, the farther it shoots. I mean, there's many varlach like that, right? Tefillah also is compared to bow and arrow. The more you... Sometimes a person will say, oh yeah, we're so close, right? Oh, I pull the person close to my heart. But it's really with the intention of what? The closer I'm pulling him, sometimes with very evil intentions eventually. Right? And that's the yasim arbo, that's lying in ambush. Right? So therefore, be very careful. Ask yourself honestly. Sometimes you're in the guise of saying something very positive. You're really giving a backhanded compliment to someone. Okay? And again, this is an Aveira that unfortunately we don't take seriously enough. It's the cause of our galus today. The Kalev is a poor los essay. We should try to be mechazik, especially on such a Shabbos like Tezriya Mitzvah. So again, 2 yisodos from the Gra. Again, always do the mitzvah regardless of your understanding of the mitzvah or the gezerah. And again, to try to be mechazik ourselves in Lashon Har, which is a weak los essay, and unfortunately has left us in galus for too long. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we should take these areas of Torah seriously and see the glue of the Meir of Yamin. Shkoyach. Thank you so much for coming.